Well, last Sunday, we looked upon the spiritual darkness of this world. And my reason for taking these past 2 weeks, or last week and this week, is I think we need to be encouraged. Sometimes we see the darkness, we hear so much about the darkness that it's just discouraging to live life. And we have every reason to be hopeful. We have every reason to be triumphant. When I get discouraged, I always remember that Jesus Christ shall one day stand upon this earth in total victory over the darkness, and he shall shine the light of his truth in a wonderful way. So I know the end of the story. And we are in the midst of great darkness in this world. And the basic fundamental truth we talked about is that if you walk away from God, if you walk away from the light, you walk into darkness. And that darkness is very great. And this is true of individuals, it's true of families, it's true of communities, it's true of nations, it's true of the whole world. You walk away from God, you walk into darkness. And today we are observing, experiencing this principle in our world. And we look about us and we say, this is foolishness. This is fearful, but it's pure folly. And yet here we are. So we, last week, looked at the problem of abandoning God, of abandoning Jesus Christ. And we looked at two saints who are praying in the face of great darkness, Daniel and Daniel chapter 9, praying for God's mercy, pleading the mercy of God. And Ezra in chapter 9, praying for God's forgiveness of a sinful people. And we looked at the only hope that can be found, and that is the hope that is in Jesus Christ. And he came into a world of darkness, a world of great darkness, and he was shining the light of God's truth. But he made those I am statements that are so important, and I am the bread of life. He is life. I am the light of the world. He is the light of this world. He forever exists as that. Here is Jesus, who is the life to those who are dead, and he is the light to those who are blind and in darkness. And he forever exists as the answer to all of that. And he said, I am the door, the shepherd's door of the sheep. You must go through me to come into the Father's presence. I'm the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep and accomplishes everything that needs to be accomplished for our salvation. And then the triumphant theme of the fifth I am statement, I am the resurrection and the life. And he shall resurrect us, and we shall live forever in his presence because of all who Jesus Christ is. And then we looked for encouragement and found it in the ministry of the angel to Angel Gabriel to Mary, where when he explained to her the impossible things that he was explaining, the virgin birth. And Mary listened to all of this and then said, how can this be? And Gabriel, who is in the presence of God, so if anyone who truly can be reflecting who God is, he's one of those angels, one of those individuals who can say, for nothing will be impossible with God. God never comes against the darkness. God never comes against an impossible situation. God never comes against an impossible promise that he has made and cannot fulfill that promise. So the light of Christ is our only hope to drive away the spiritual darkness. And Jesus set that challenge before the nation of Israel. He set that challenge before us and saying, you are the light of the world. But it's one thing to analyze the problem. It's very easy to say you walk away from God, you walk into darkness. But addressing what we should do or how we should do it is always the more difficult question. I mean, the world is so great, the world is so powerful, and we are so small. How can the light of the gospel of Christ go forward in such great of darkness? And how do we go about being light in this world of darkness? I think it's a great question. It deserves to be answered. But there are certain things that we must know in order to stand forth as the light that God intends us to be. So I want to be able to look to several passages of Scripture, particularly in 2 Corinthians. But I want us to look at this, but there's some fundamental truths that we all know, and that first is that God is light. And God's light shines in us. In Sunday school, we talked about man being created in the image and likeness of God, but man walked into darkness. But how fitting it is for God in resolving this problem to take sinful men, to save them, and to shine the light of his truth in them. Truly, God made man in his own image and likeness. God says, I don't want you to make idols, because mankind is the idol. If you want to know what God is like, the most perfect illustration of who God is and what he's like is you. And so God says, don't be making images, don't be making idols. We are that idol, but we are the idols that walked into darkness. And then God restores us and he saves us. He puts his life back into us. He puts the light into us. And then he sends us forth to be lights in a world of darkness. And if there's anything you get from this message today, get the significance of this being God's ministry, not our ministry. That's really an encouraging truth to know. Because you may say, well, okay, I'm supposed to go out and be a light in the world. How can I go be a light in the world? Well, I need to go talk to this person. I need to talk to that person. And we can strategize and get all of this. This is God's ministry in us. You may be concerned about being a light into a world of darkness, but that is what God is primarily concerned about. I mean, he's the one who sends us forth. He's the one who accomplishes this ministry in and through us. I mean, sometimes we tend to think of what we do for God. And there are many ways that we can think about the things that we do for God. But what we really need to understand when it comes to light and darkness is this is what God does through us. This is his ministry. He's more concerned about this ministry than you are. That's wonderful to know. It's wonderful to know because I know that the Lord's ministry is going to be fulfilled in us and through us. So it's his ministry. And in this ministry, when the light shines and people receive that glorious light, they will be blessed forever. And when the light shines and people reject that light, they will be in darkness forever. God's ministry, however, will be successful. God is accomplishing his purposes in his world. And he's the one alone who will be glorified when all of this ministry takes place. I mean, think of it. God could have gone about, I always think about the possibility of other ways that God could have done things. And God could say to us, I'm going to save you. I'm going to put my life in you. But you've departed from me. You walked into darkness. You're not to be trusted. I'm going to give the gospel message by angels. I think that would be terrific. And the angels could come and come to earth and proclaim the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And the angels that have never fallen have this perfect record before God. And they would be great examples of the gospel message. And we could stand to the side and say, yes, that's true for us, and we could encourage them. But God says, no, I'm not using the angels. I'm using you and me. And when you first hear that, you may think, well, that's not a good idea. That's not the best idea to use us. We can be such poor examples and poor ministry, and you're going to do that? And God says to us, I'm going to make you like Jesus Christ. I'm also going to put my light in you in such a way that it shines to the world. That's what I'm doing. So be mindful as you live your life and go about what God is doing in you and through you. Because the ministry of God in Christ is to drive away the darkness, and he's accomplishing that through us. Amazing. Just totally amazing. Let me go back and look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16, again, just to say, well, this is where Jesus Christ was speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men put a lamp and put it under, light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, put it under a basket. But they put it on a lampstand and let it give light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You are the light of the world. It doesn't say you are to try to be light to the world. No, it doesn't say that. It says you are the light of the world. God's transforming power is at work in you to make you a light that shines in a world of darkness. And this is pleasing to the Lord. It's delightful to the Lord. He takes us out of the darkness that we were in and makes us to be life and light in this world of darkness. We're here for a reason. You know, there's many people who see the darkness and curse the darkness. We see the darkness and we should see it as the opportunity for the ministry of God through us in this lost and dying world. And the Apostle Paul clearly understood that when he was in Galatians 2:20, where he said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Christ lives in me. So if you see a difference in me, what you're seeing is Christ. Christ living in me. Christ shining the light of God in me and through me. The fact that he could take any of us and use any of us in this regard is totally amazing. But is anything too hard for God? Is there anything too impossible? He takes the unlikely us and makes us to be the lights that shine in this world of darkness. Now I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 2 talks about the ministry, the new covenant ministry. And the Apostle Paul talks about this ministry because he wants to be clear in the Corinthian church and in our church, but he wants to be clear what the ministry is because the Corinthians got messed up on it. And if you go all the way back to, I know we've talked about Corinthians in Sunday school, so this will be a review for you, but if you go all the way back to the very beginning, the first thing that he talks about is that he says, there are quarrels and divisions among you. He says, let me identify what those quarrels and divisions are. He says, now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I'm of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, I am of Peter, or even I am of Christ. When I read this, I say, well, they shouldn't be quarreling and they shouldn't be dividing. But it's always interesting that I am of Christ is at the end. I think, isn't that really what we all should say? I am of Christ. But I think what he is talking about is that there are people who are talking about the presenters and the presentation of truth. And there are those who were saved when they heard Paul give the gospel message. And there are those who were saved when they heard Apollos. And there are those who were saved when they heard Peter. And there may have been those who were saved when they heard Jesus Christ give the Sermon on the Mount. And so it seems to me it's about the presentation, that you look at the presenter and you say, that's the one who really knows how to give the gospel message. You may feel that way about the person who led you to Christ. You say, a bunch of people talked to me about the gospel, and then finally this person came and talked to me. I went, wow, I get it. And you can sort of give the credit to the person who speaks to you, and that's what was taking place. And the Apostle Paul goes through this whole presentation of the Corinthian church, reminding them that the minister is and the one who speaks and the one who presents and the one who speaks is not the one who saves you. And it is God himself who saves. And so he talks about the ministry. When you come to 2 Corinthians, and this new covenant ministry is in chapter 2, verse 14, all the way to chapter 6 and verse 10. And here he's saying, let me tell you what the ministry really is all about. Well, let me tell you what your ministry is all about. Say, so, okay, tell me. And he says, he comes to this first part and begins with a thanksgiving. So look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. He says, now thanks be to God. Here's where he begins about talking about the thanks be to God. Let me just stop there. If he's going to talk about the ministry, why didn't he say thanks be to you? Thanks be to me. Thank you for being such great witnesses of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Now get this, because God, this is God's ministry, not your ministry. This is God's ministry. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one we are the aroma of death to death, to the other the aroma of life to life. And who is sufficient for this? Who is enough? For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God we speak in the sight of God in Christ. He says, we're thankful to God for the ministry. So if you say, thank you, Apostle Paul, for your ministry among us, God, the Apostle Paul will say, don't thank me. You thank God, because it's his ministry through me. And we are the fragrance of Christ, which is delightful to God. You say, well, sometimes I give the gospel message to people, and they say, I don't want that. And you walk away and you go, well, that was a lot. That was terrible. I probably didn't present the gospel the best way I should have. This is just really terrible and everything. We are an aroma of life to life and death to death. But what you need to know is when you are light in the world, you are being what God made us to be. And God is delighted in shining that light through you. There's never a failure for you. This is God's ministry through you. And this is not just speaking the gospel. I say not just speaking the gospel. The gospel message is a message that must be proclaimed. But it's also your life. You're going to see that in this whole passage. Because there are times in this passage when I think you ought to be focusing on what God is doing in the hearts and lives of the people who are being saved, when God is talking about what God is doing in our lives in order that they might be saved. And the focus is on his ministry to us. So this begins with the word of thanksgiving to God for what he's doing in us. And we say, God, we live in a world of darkness. If you're doing a work in us, you need to do more of a work in us. I say amen to that. But it's his ministry through us. And that to me is a great encouragement. It's sort of for God to say, this is an effective ministry. He always leads us in triumph. He always leads us in triumph. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like a miserable failure. I don't always feel like I'm being led in triumph. I sometimes feel like I'm being led in failure. But God says, no, I'm taking my life and my light and I'm putting in you in such a way that you will be different in your life, and you will be different in the way in which you speak about the things of Christ. So then he talks about our being servants. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. God has made us sufficient. When he asked that question, who is sufficient? Did you see in chapter 3 in verse 5 where it says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. So he says, who is sufficient for such a ministry? And he says, our sufficiency is not from us, it's from God. He contrasts the old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant was a ministry of condemnation. God said, if you want to know what you must do, if you want to know how you must live, I'm going to give you the Ten Commandments. I'm going to give you these commands. You do these and you shall live in the land. I will bless you. I'll do everything and keep you in the land. And they never did it. They had a miserable record. If you don't believe me, read Judges and then 1 and 2 Kings. They never did it. And so they were driven from the land. Why? Well, because when you take God's truth and you put it in front of people and say, this is a conditional covenant. If you fulfill this condition, God will bless you. The nation of Israel proves that if you have that kind of relationship, they won't do it. We wouldn't do it. Nobody can do it. How many people in the Old Testament were saved by being obedient to the law? And the answer is not a single one. Not Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, not Moses, not Joshua. Not the prophets, not the kings, not David, none of them saved by doing the law. The only one who's ever done the law is Jesus Christ, perfectly fulfilled the law. So again, we have this ministry that is set before us, a ministry of life and death. And you say, well, our sufficiency in this ministry is, it must be of God. So the key to knowing about being light in a world of darkness is to know who you are. To know who you are in Christ. To know who you are in God. To know the light that God is shining in your life. The light that God is shining in your life. When you become a Christian, you're a Christian in a world of darkness, and God shines the light in your life and begins to change your life. And as you get older and older, you're going to be more and more transformed to be like Jesus Christ. He's going to say that here in this passage. You will be transformed to be more and more like Him. Going forth and living, not in darkness, but living in the light. And having a message in the light about Jesus Christ. So when you come to this ministry of servants, you come to verse 18 in this passage, and it says, you know, Moses had this ministry of death, but we have this ministry of life. It says, but we all with unveiled face. Here again, notice what the focus is on. The focus is not upon the people seeing the light in us. The focus is upon you. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding it as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, the Apostle Paul doesn't draw attention to himself, but he says, you know, take a mirror and look at yourself. And what you should see when you look in that mirror is the glory of God. And as you see the glory of God, it's more and more and more because you are being transformed. We all with unveiled face. He said in the Old Testament, when Moses would stand in the presence of God and And when he walked away from that presence, his face would shine with the glory of God. And some of his advisors came and said to him, you know, you're weirding people out with this shining face thing going on, and you need to put a veil over your face. You need to veil yourself because the glory of God is too intense for the people to talk to you, seeing the glory of God shining in your face. Because when you're in the presence, and Moses becomes a perfect picture of this, when you're in the presence of the glory of God, you begin to shine like the glory of God. Now Moses, if he held the mirror and looked at it, I don't know if he had a mirror, but if he would look in the mirror, he would see the glory of God. But instead of speaking of Moses, he's speaking of us. And he says, we see the glory of God when you look in a mirror, because we are being transformed. And the Apostle Paul is saying that's this transformation is what makes us sufficient for this ministry that God has given us. So we are being transformed from one state of glory to the next state of glory until finally we shall be glorified in God's presence. But then he talks about the practice, because here we go with giving the gospel message. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, it says, since we have this ministry, we do not, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. You know why we don't lose heart? Well, he said so. It's not because we're brave and we're bold. It's because God is transforming us. God is making us more and more suitable for the ministry that he has set before us. Since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy from God, as we have received light from God, as we have received the truth from God, we do not lose heart. Because what we have is not us drumming up our ability to go and do something, it's God shining his light in us and transforming us. It says, we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He says, it's not what we're saying. It's not how we're saying it. It's not, we've renounced any kind of thing. What we're trying to do is accurately represent the truth of God. And commending ourselves in the sight of mankind. He says, but if our gospel is veiled, again, speaking of that veil, where the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ is veiled to those who are perishing. He's going to say that here. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are lost, who are perishing, lost unto destruction, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ should shine on who is the image of God should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now get verse 6. Because I always think this verse 6 was talking about the people being saved, but it's not talking about the people being saved, it's talking about us. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul says, when you stand up and say, I'm of Paul, you have no idea what you're talking about. Or when you say, I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Peter, you have no idea. Because we are the vessels of God communicating his light. What you're seeing is the light of God. If you see anything in me, Paul would say, you are seeing God's light shining through my life and through the words that are spoken. Because it seems to me when you're talking about this going forth with the gospel message and how we're preaching and everything else, this passage says, for the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness will shine in your heart. But he's talking about the ministry and the ministry that each one of us has, and God shining the light in our hearts. That's the prelude to any ministry that we would ever have, is the God who shines light in us, through us. Totally amazing. And then he goes on to say, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And he talks about all the difficulties that he has experienced in ministry. Persecution, affliction, troubles. And then again, he comes to verse 16. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, this is sort of a contrasting kind of statement. Affliction never seems light. Affliction seems heavy. But he calls it, for our light affliction is but for a moment, is working a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And when you think of glory, you don't think of weight, but that's really what the word refers to. So it's just the opposite. When our affliction seems so great, they're really light. And what's really weighty is the glory of God. When we look at we do not look on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We're looking at the glory of God. And the ministry is always not a methodology. And we may have a method of going about doing things, but the ministry is not a methodology. The ministry is the ministry of the God of light shining his light in our lives and transforming us so that we stand before others as living Christians. That God is changing. Are we perfect? Not in this life. But we are being transformed. We are being renewed. We are being changed. And the light of God is shining through us more and more and more as he changes us more and more and more. Again, this is God's ministry through us. And the Apostle Paul clearly sees this. This is the gospel. He's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's this God shining his light through us. And one of the things that happens sometimes when we live in this world of darkness, the world of darkness just closes in on us and closes in on, so we just sort of feel like we just come and at church. I can tell you that the easiest time for me to talk about Jesus Christ is right here. I love to stand here and talk to you about Jesus Christ. It is easy, easy, easy. Second place that's easy is at school, because I'm supposed to do that. So I have students sitting in front of me, and they have to listen to me. Bless their hearts. They have to listen. And it's just a wonderful opportunity. The hardest place to do that is when I'm out in the world. The hardest place is in my neighborhood. Because the world comes closing in and closing in, and it's almost like you look at the world and you go, you don't want to hear this. You don't want to hear the message. And let me tell you, giving the gospel message is telling others what's happening in you. You say, well, I don't know how to give the gospel message like ministers of the gospel, or I don't know. I don't. All you have to do in giving the gospel is explain what God has done to you. I think I was saved when I was 8 years old. I was saved by means of my sister and my cousin, who are 3 years older than I was. My sister, I think my cousin is a couple years younger, 3 years younger. They were not experts at giving the gospel. They probably knew about as much as I knew at that time. But I knew that I was a sinner. And I knew that Jesus was the Savior and the Son of God. And I knew that if I believed in him, he would save me. That's pretty simple stuff. I couldn't have passed a theology test. I couldn't have explained to you what Jesus was doing when he was hanging on the cross. I couldn't have explained to you our union in Jesus Christ and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. I couldn't have explained to you all of those things, but I could simply tell you what happened to me. That I saw that I was a sinner. And I saw that Jesus, I heard that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior, and he saved me by dying on the cross. And he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You say, well, that gospel message won't save anybody. I said, well, it saved me. We're responsible to be light. All you can do is tell you what you know. And if you don't know, then be saved. Come to Christ. Because everyone knows if you're saved, I'm saved by Christ. Memorize John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus when Nicodemus was in darkness. And that's a pretty limited statement. But at the end of John's gospel, you have Nicodemus taking Jesus off the cross, which so apparently what Jesus said to him, and that little brief statement, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Does that explain the atonement? All the things that are taking place with the atonement? Not really. But it's just simply explaining what you know. I knew that I'm a sinner. I know that he's the Savior. And I'm believing in him. And it's a simple message. And I'm telling you, it is God who turns the lights on. It's God who turned the lights on in you, and it's God who's still turning the light on in you. And it's God who uses our faltering, failing self. And I can tell you, I have never given the gospel message to anyone where I didn't walk away and say, I could have and should have said that better. And oops, I forgot to say this, and oops, I forgot to say that. And I should have said this, and I should have done this, and I should have done that. If saving people depended upon giving a perfect gospel message, none of us would be saved. But we give the gospel message. We say, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus Christ. Trust in him. He will save you. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior. He came to save. He died on the cross to pay it all. It's accomplished by him. Come to Christ. That's just a wonderful message. You say, well, I was talking to Will the other day, and I say, sometimes when I talk to people and I think about giving the gospel, I think there's so much to say, I don't know what to say. So much to say. And I remember one time when Martha and I were first married, and I was in Sunday school, this little kid came up, like a five-year-old kid, and he asked me a question. I think it was about the nature of Jesus Christ. Here's a little five-year-old asking me a question about the nature of Jesus Christ, and he said, how can Jesus be a God and man at the same time? I said, I've been to seminary. I'm ready for you. I've got this whole thing. And this little kid's like, I didn't know that I should have just said, because he is. That would have probably satisfied a five-year-old of that, but I gave him everything. And I knew when I was talking to him, his eyes were kind of glazing over and looking back like, and I gave him the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Just tell people what you know. The gospel message is the message of Jesus Christ. And you come to, again, to the next part of this passage. Come to the next part of this passage, and it says, we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, verse 20 of chapter 5. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. When I think about this passage of Scripture, what comes in my puny mind is a floodlight coming straight down from heaven, right upon the cross of Jesus Christ. And this light brightly shines, but the world is in darkness, complete darkness. If you step just outside of that light, you're in total darkness. And here is this light that shines down. And our message is, it is in this light that God is reconciled. God is at peace. It is in this place, this is the only place on earth where you have the cross of Jesus Christ and the atoning work of Jesus. This is the only place where you will ever find peace with God because of all that Jesus Christ did upon the cross. Say, come stand in the light. Come believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Come to the light. And you stand in the light. You stand in the light of what God has done at the cross of Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. His judgment is satisfied. He is at peace. And you are set free from sin and death. You come stand in the light. This is the light of God's truth shining down. But the difference with that illustration is instead of just being one light that comes down on the cross, God then takes that light and he puts it in each one of us. And he says, go forth and tell people about the light. Go tell people what happened when you were saved. For that's our ministry. You know, the Apostle Paul, his salvation was really unique. I mean, he's on the Damascus Road. He's going to persecute Christians. He hates Christians. He hates Christ. He hates everything. He's on the Damascus Road, and suddenly Jesus appears before him in the glory of God. Paul's down. And he says, what do you want me to do? And Jesus said, well, why are you persecuting me? I'm sure the Apostle Paul said, I'm not persecuting you, I'm persecuting the Christians. But it's Jesus in all of his glory standing before him. And when you come to Paul talking about this, he says, this is not a super thing that happened to me. I look at that and I say, that's totally amazing. I wish that instead of being saved by the means of my sister and my cousin, if it would have been Jesus on the Damascus Road, you know, and there I am in his presence. Paul says, my salvation is an example. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, he says, mine is an example of this God who shines the light, shining the light in us, shining the light of truth to us, of saving us, of confronting us on the pathway that we're on, confronting us. He says, there's nothing unusual about my salvation. It's sort of the example. It's sort of what it's like. I said, well, man, it seems sort of exceptional to me. But he said, no, I'm looking at it in terms of what it really is, as being confronted with Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. So we are to be lights, because God shines his light in us. We can only be light because God shines his light in us. And we go forth with the gospel message. Why? Because it's the light that God has shined in our hearts. We go forth with that truth. So this ministry, just remember, it's God's ministry in us. You will be successful in this ministry because it's God's ministry in you and through you to others. That's thrilling to me. If I was just saved and God said, okay, do the best you can, could you be a witness for me? I'd say, I don't think that's going to happen. But it's God's ministry, shining the light in you, shining the light in me, in order that we might shine the light to others. Your life is being transformed from one state of glory to the next. You are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. There's nobody more suitable for the gospel ministry than you. So when we give the gospel, we may fail, but I can tell you God is always pleased. And tell those in darkness how you can come to the light and how they can be blessed. That's really what we're doing here on earth. That's why we're here. I always say the most important issue in this world is what are you doing with Jesus Christ? And for us, the most important ministry is the ministry of what are you doing with Jesus Christ? This world is passing away. Everything you have is going to belong to somebody else. But Jesus Christ is forever. And the light of God is forever. And the promises of God are forever. And it's wonderful when you are discouraged to go back and open your Bible and say, what is this ministry like? What is this ministry like? Oh, this is God's ministry through us. We can look at the darkness in the world and we can take credit for that. We say, well, it's because we're so crummy. We're crummy witnesses of Jesus Christ. It's impossible for us to be light that shines in the darkness. It's only possible for God to shine the light. That's why we should be on our knees praying, dear God, open the eyes of the blind to see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, to see the light of your truth. That's the hope. That's the hope of this world. That's the only hope. And may God help us. May God help us. May God shine his ministry in and through our lives for his great glory. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you are successfully accomplishing a ministry through our lives. We look at our own lives and we don't see that success. We can look at our own lives and just wonder what we're doing. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that this is your ministry. And your ministry will be successful through us. Help us to live for you. Transform our lives. Renew us. There's a metamorphosis that is taking place from one stage of glory to the next stage of glory. You're accomplishing that great work in us. Father, we pray that you would cause us to be faithful in living for you. But even in our unfaithfulness, shine the light of your truth through our lives. Shine the light of your truth through our mouths as we have opportunity simply to tell our story of what you've done in our hearts and lives. And we pray that you will bless this ministry. We pray for the world in darkness. We pray that you would open their blind eyes to see the truth. We pray that you would shine the light and you would shine the light in their hearts. And the glorious gospel of Christ would go forward once again in our city, in our state, in our land, in the world, that you should receive the glory for the great work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thank you for accomplishing a work in us and accomplishing a work through us. And we pray that you would accomplish so much more. So may your hand be upon us. And your presence be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.